You know what you're listening to?
Is that a trick question?
It's the I Still Love This Game podcast with your host, Matthew Damien.
He's an idiot. Don't listen to he's an idiot.
Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the I Still Love This Game podcast. If you're keeping count, this is our 20th straight day with a podcast. I'm not sure if I should be impressed or embarrassed by this. But anyway, we got quite a bit to talk about today. Two big games, and I guess we may as well, you know, it's a good news, bad news situation. So I guess we should start with the bad news, and that was the Raptors versus the Cavs. And I don't even know where to begin with this, but I will say that was one of the most pathetic and embarrassing performances I've ever seen by the Raptors, and that in of itself is saying a lot. Now, let's backtrack a little to apply some context, because I think it's important. Plus, it means I have to talk about the game less. It was that bad. The Raptors have made strides and claims all season long that they were a different team, that they're mentally tougher, and they're ready to seriously contend for the championship. They went ahead and they won 59 games or 60 games, whatever it was, in the regular season. They handled Washington pretty well in the first round, even though it went six games. The Wizards, they're no joke. They had a lot of veterans and a lot of talent on that team. They could have easily been a conference finalist. They handled them. They did well. They closed it out on the road as well. Some of those games were really close at home, too. Then, in the second round, they faced the Cavs. Obviously, we all know about the playoff history between these two. The Raptors established a double-digit lead in Game 1. Late in Game 1, they held a double-digit lead. And then they blew that. They absolutely blew it. They went 5 of 26 in the fourth quarter, something insane like that. And, of course, they end up losing the game in overtime. So they find themselves down in the series. Game 2, considering that's at home as well, is an absolute must-win. So how would you expect them to come out? Keep in mind that their season is on the line. So surely we'd see some kind of intensity and desperation, right? Well, no. Instead, they give up 130 points and forced only 3 turnovers. 130 points and only 3 turnovers. The Cavs only had 3 turnovers for the entire game. Are you kidding me? Look, I've seen teams with home court get swept before in the playoffs. But I have never in my life seen a team lose the first game at home and then in the second game, the game two of the series, put in such an embarrassing display. With everything on the line for them, they didn't show up. They should do us all a favor and not even get on the flight to Cleveland for games 3 and 4. Don't waste our time. Actually, no, please, play games 3 and 4. Let's watch LeBron further decimate and dissect this team. And speaking of whom, what a terrific performance by James offensively. Words can't describe how well he played, especially in the second half. Kevin Love was also huge. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here. As great as they were, the Raptors provided little to no resistance. Do you remember Mark Jackson calling out players for fake hustle? The Raptors have turned that term into an art form. Thankfully, though, this might be the last we see of this group. Yes, LeBron may leave Cleveland and he could end up playing in the Western Conference, maybe the Lakers, maybe the Spurs, I don't know, wherever, right? But even if he goes, and people think, well, the Eastern Conference were blown wide open then. So why would the Raptors possibly want to tear their team up? But with Philly, Boston, Milwaukee, Indiana, and Miami all bound to get better this next season, this was their shot to make the finals. I'm quite honestly, I'm definitely not a Raptors fan. If you've been following the page, you've been listening to the podcast, I have been critical of them, honestly, since back to just before their series against the Wizards, in which they got swept when they had home court advantage in that as well. I've been very critical of them because they just do not show up in the playoffs. I had hopes and expectations that maybe, just maybe, they had turned the switch and they'd become tougher. They grew up. You know, some teams do that. But there's no hope for this team. There's absolutely no hope. How do you give? If they had lost in the waning moments, if they didn't shoot well and they got blown out, I could live with that. But to give up, as I said, 130 points on their home court and only force 3 turnovers. LeBron usually has 3 turnovers in a quarter or a half. And their entire team only had 3 turnovers for an entire game. That tells you that they did not play any defense. And defense usually comes down to effort. Ask any ex-players or anyone that watches a game seriously, or a coach. They always preach effort and communication. They didn't show up. This was embarrassing to watch. And as I said, thankfully, this is probably the last meaningful game we're going to see of this group of Raptors. They're going to have to make some serious improvements to their roster. And I don't think they're capable of getting anywhere with this team. And I don't feel bad about it. I do feel like a bit of an idiot because I felt like I was misled. Whatever. It happens. And quite honestly, we should all be thankful that we saw this series in the second round. Had Indiana won, or had Cleveland not shown up in game one, and this series extended or whatever, right, and somehow Toronto made it out of this series, and they made it to the NBA Finals, they would have been torn to shreds up against whoever comes out of the West. So I'm glad it's getting taken care of now, and hopefully we see Cleveland, or we see Philly, or Boston get to the finals, and yeah, they're probably not going to stand much of a chance against some of those Western teams, but at least they will fight. They will not give up 130 points whilst they've dropped the first game at home. How could they not realize the importance of this game? I don't care if you're up 3 games to none. Giving up 130 points at home and only forcing 3 turnovers is unacceptable. To give that up when you already lost the first game of the series at home and you're staring down the barrel of losing the first 2 at home, that's unforgivable. But let's move on and let's have a look at a real contest, and that was game 2 between the Sixers and the Celtics. And the 76ers, led by Redick, they came out with intensity and efficiency, and Philadelphia exploded to a 20-point lead in the first half. Not even the return of Jaylen Brown could slow the momentum from Philly down. But behind Marcus Smart, the Celtics offense finally kicked into gear. Boston went on a 20-5 run to cut the lead to 5. In the third quarter, the Celtics took a 5-point lead, and this game was remarkably similar to the Jazz and Rockets from yesterday. Philly showed some great resolve from Covington, and we saw a classic back-and-forth battle emerge. Behind the play of Tatum, Smart, and Morris, Boston pulled ahead by 7 with under 2 minutes to play. And a late push by the 76ers was thwarted by Al Horford's layup with 8 seconds left. Honestly, there's no way that Embiid should have been pressing him 25 feet away from the basket with about 5 seconds left on a shot clock, which gave Horford a clear lane to the basket, but that's an error that he will learn from. Philly now finds themselves down 0-2, after only dropping 2 games in the last 30 or so. Nearly as importantly, Ben Simmons had a nightmare 2 games. It's reminded me of LeBron's first 2 games in Boston during the 2008 playoffs. LeBron struggled big time, which led to the Boston crowd chanting "overrated." Keep in mind that this was the year after LeBron and the Cavs made the finals, so they were experienced and a confident team. Simmons is only a rookie, and he will learn from this. But the 76ers have a dilemma if he continues to struggle. Do they reduce his minutes and play McConnell more, or do they allow Simmons to play through it and learn from his mistakes? If they go from the latter and he continues to struggle, they're essentially conceding the series at that point. But what are they looking for? Are they trying to win the series, or are they trying to develop Simmons as quickly as possible? As I said, it's a bit of a dilemma. I would, of course, go with the latter. The former. And that if he continues to struggle, they got to play McConnell more. Hell, maybe throw Fultz in there as well and see how he handles the pressure. Anyway, another thing to keep an eye on is Jaylen Brown's health. He was productive today, but he did look stiff at times. Once his body cools down and the adrenaline wears off, that'll be a good indication of how healthy that leg really is. The luxury for the Celtics is they now have a 2-0 lead, which means it obviously means they have a cushion. They can rest him until game 5 and let it heal. Now, despite the 2-0 lead, Boston is a young team and is yet to show consistency in playing on the road. I've got Philly rebounding and winning the next 2 games at home, and if Simmons is able to bounce back, I still will pick them to win the series even though they find themselves in this hole. Now, the other news today was Fizdale has gone to the Knicks. Of course, we remember him as an assistant coach with Miami and then obviously a head coach in Memphis. And he's a good coach, don't get me wrong. I like him a lot as a coach and he's very well respected. A lot of people were shocked in the way that he was let go from Memphis. It was essentially, usually when you see a team let a coach go mid-season, it's to give a team a bit of a spark. Or they feel the team is going in the wrong direction and they're trying to correct that. But when Fizdale was let go, everyone was like, well, you may as well just write this season off. So he was universally regarded as the guy that was keeping that Grizzlies, the hopes for the Grizzlies team in order. That being said, he's going into a train wreck of a franchise. And you look at everybody they have brought in since the Patrick Ewing days, and that's how far back we have to go from this. Mike Woodson, he was the only guy that's taken them out of the first round since Patrick Ewing. That's saying how bad this team is, or this franchise is. And unless if they fix the pressure, because the media just wants to create headlines, right? And there is no team that is controlled by the media more in the NBA than the New York Knicks. And it doesn't matter if they're making strides, unless if they win a championship, it's not enough. But they don't want to build towards winning a championship. It's a long process. You would think of all teams, they haven't won since 1973, so you would think of pretty much every single franchise out there, the media and the fans would level off their expectations and allow them to build. They never seem to do that. And the only guy they brought in that genuinely didn't give genuinely did not care about what the media had to say about him was Phil Jackson. And they got rid of him. They ran him out of town. So that goes to show that it doesn't matter how good of a personnel you bring in, if the media doesn't like him and they want to create headlines and create turmoil, they're going to go after him. So I think Fizdale, great coach, not a great coach, but a very solid coach, but in a very bad situation. And I don't think that's going to go too far. And unless if they fix that culture, no one's going to be successful. You could bring in Pat Riley back to the organization and it still wouldn't fix that. Quite honestly, there needs to be some big, big changes. So I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm raining on the excitement of Knicks fans who are probably desperate for any kind of positivity, but I'm just trying to be realistic about this, and I don't think Fizdale is going to be the answer to all their problems. Now, looking ahead to tomorrow's games, we have the Warriors versus the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans will regather themselves and take game 3. And I think the Rockets up against the Jazz, I think the Rockets right their ship and they reestablish a lead and go up 2-1. And that's all we've got time for today. It's a short podcast, I apologize, but we'll be back again tomorrow. If it's short again tomorrow, I'll answer some questions. I hope you enjoy the games. Thanks for listening and take care, guys.